a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, America. Happy Tuesday, everybody. A little different weather today than yesterday, huh? Man, that wind hit, 5:30, 6 o'clock this morning. Come in with a vengeance. I was looking at the mezzanette. Looks like Walters down there south of Lawton. Had the highest wind gust so far for the day, and that was at 51 miles an hour. They were the only ones in the 50s. Everybody else was in the 40s, but it did hit with a vengeance. So let's check out some temperatures. 49 degrees at Boise City, 53 at Hooker, 53 at Slapout, 54 at Cherokee, 60 at Bessie, 57 at Eric, 59 at Hollis, and 61 at Altus. Out here in the panhandle of Texas, let's see what's going on out there. 47 degrees at Texline, which, if you don't know where that is, it's way up there in the far northwestern corner of the Texas panhandle. 53 degrees at Paladora Reservoir, 54 at Miami, 56 at Dozer, and 61 at Odell. Oh, I'm kind of happy for the wind, not quite this much, but it's drying things out a little bit where we can maybe able to get back into the peanut harvest mode this afternoon. The forage on the peanuts been a little damp to be running through the combine, but I think this wind will dry it out, so I'm going to give her another try after the show today. A couple friendly reminders for you guys tonight at Sentinel and at Merritt. They will both be having their FFA labor auctions. Both of them start at 6 o'clock at Sentinel. It'll be at the community center, I believe. Yes. And then at Merritt, it'll be at the Merritt cafeteria. So get out and support your FFA chapters. Man, I heard a rumor. I don't know if it's 100% true, because notice I said it's a rumor. I hear that the Cotton King is going to be doing some broadcasting down there for Sentinel basketball. Him and Billy the Cop and the Cotton King. So it should be an interesting duo for announcing Sentinel basketball games. So congratulations, you guys are on Paragon Sports now. So be fun to have you guys on. I'll have to listen in on that too. So that'd be pretty interesting. Okay, let's see what's happening. Let's check out what happened overnight in our big world of agriculture. Man, guys, we knew it was coming. We didn't know it was going to be this quick. We didn't know it was going to be this hard. But the board today on cattle just doesn't look good at all. And you know, the sad thing about, or not, I don't know whether it be sad or good thing about it, I guess it's a good thing. The prices are still good. Even if they're down 30 to 50 per hundred weight, the prices are still good compared to what we've been getting the last 10, 15 years. So soybean and grain futures were higher overnight as investors remain optimistic about the prospect of resuming trade with China. The U.S. and China have been locked in an ongoing tariff war for months. Reached a potential agreement and may include purchases of soybeans from the U.S. Then I read just right before the show started that President Trump and the emperor, or whatever they call themselves, from Japan signed an agreement on some rare earth minerals and et cetera, et cetera. And they're going to be buying some soybeans. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. It's all good. Keep going. Negotiators worked on details or deals related to TikTok operations, rare earth minerals, and other trade items, said Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent. President Donald Trump and the president from China are scheduled to meet this week on the sidelines of an economic forum in South Korea. I have a lot of respect for the Chinese president, and we're going to come away with the deal, Trump told reporters on Air Force One after leaving a separate economic conference in Malaysia. Also boosting prices was trade deals signed with Malaysia and Cambodia and the framework agreements that were reached with Thailand and Vietnam. Farm groups included the American Soybean Association and National Corn Growers Association. Both praised the agreement. Soybean futures for November delivery at 11 and a quarter overnight to 10.96 and a quarter a bushel on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was up 380 to 302 a short ton, and soybean oil futures fell 0.17 cents to 50.6 cents a pound. Corn futures for December delivery gained 2 and a quarter to 431 a bushel. Wheat futures came up 4.5 cents in Chicago at 530 and a half. Kansas City was added 4 cents to 518 and a quarter a bushel. The U.S. soybean and corn harvest is rolling on into the home stretch last week, while wheat planting in the Southern Plains continues at a slow pace, according to private reports and statements from the industry and government organizations. The corn harvest was about 72% complete, according to a poll from Rutgers, and 81% of the crop has been collected at this point last year. Through the prior five-year average was 64%, so take that however you want. Roughly 84% of the soybeans were in the bin at the start of the week, according to the poll. There's also, that's behind a year earlier pace that was at 89% collected, but ahead of the average of 78% for the last 5 years, according to this. Weekly crop progress reports from the USDA has not been published since the government shutdown started on October 1st. But our Congress, especially in the Senate, they had time to summons some NBA people to the Washington to talk to them about gambling in the NBA, but they don't have time to get the government going. Pretty interesting things going on up there in Washington. Weather in Iowa has been dry in recent weeks, allowing producers to collect crops, though some are wrapping up the harvest and moving on to other field work. Much of Iowa also experienced the first hard freeze of the season as overnight temperatures dropped. Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Mike Naik said in a statement, though scattered rain is possible, looks like they're getting a lot of rain from just southeastern Oklahoma all the way up through Tulsa, Kansas City, into Iowa. They're getting lots of rain this morning, looks like. Iowa State climatologist Justin Gleason, I think that's how you say that, said in a report that conditions moderated last week after 6 weeks of unseasonably warm weather. In Kansas, where hard red winter wheat planting is underway, recent precipitation improved prospects, but also slowed the sowing. Industrial organization Kansas Wheat said in a statement, planting was only about halfway complete in central Kansas, where Kansas Wheat Commission Chair Derek Sawyer farms. Acres are fairly steady so far, but overall, I think acres will be down because the fall harvest has been delayed. We're up against the deadline for double cropping behind corn or soybeans. Fall armyworms are also a problem in some of the areas in Kansas, according to Kansas Wheat. Damage has been mostly on early grazing wheat, but growers are encouraged to watch for pressure on emerging stands. The statement said, hopefully, we don't have to worry about that on a big scale like we have been. Grasshoppers are still out there. I walked the edge of the peanut field yesterday to check it, and them suckers need to go hibernate somewhere and get out of my sight. Weather, according to the National Weather Service, freezing weather is ahead. You guys know we have freeze warnings already out for the Oklahoma Panhandle for tonight, and then I'm sure that freeze or frost warning will be expanded into a big part of northwestern Oklahoma tomorrow. We'll see what the Mesonet says. Also, high wind warnings are in effect right now for northeastern Oklahoma, but we're going to be at out here in western Oklahoma in the eastern Texas Panhandle. So Wednesday will be our first chance at freeze for much of the Panhandles, according to the National Weather Service. We still have some breezy north winds left in the morning, and that will lead to wind chills that could be down in the teens for the northwest panhandles and even southeast, feel like the upper 20s. There you have it. That's what we got going on. So let's see here. Today is Stockman's Veterinary Clinic Happy Hour. So let's take a Stockman's Vet break, and I'll see if I can get a hold of Brandon and see what's happening at the sale barns. We should see a lot of difference going on right now compared to what was happening the week before. Be right back after this.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
I was impressed that he came to my barn. That is what I like, is service. Service says a lot. I have not even been to his office. My time is very valuable to me. I'm very busy. It's a 35-minute drive from my house to Mangum. I don't want to drive down there every time I need something. That's going to kill at least 2 hours of my day, and I don't have that kind of time to spare. So when I get in business with somebody like this that gives me that kind of service, I respect the job that they're doing, and I appreciate the service that they're providing to me. I'm ecstatic. I'm very glad. It worked out like it was supposed to. You know, I don't think I could have picked a better insurance agent. My name is Bandy Silk. My family and I farm and ranch in the Delhi community. I'm a fifth-generation farmer and rancher. I'm glad I've contacted Mickey Lively for my insurance needs.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
It helps to work with someone who's been down the same road you're traveling. Someone who knows what you're up against and what you're going through. When it comes to farmers and ranchers, that's us. That's who we are. Our lenders know ag inside and out because we're producers too. We approach it like a partnership. We want to put ag producers in position to be successful. We're very laid back and easy to deal with. And people seem to like that. We think you'll like it too. I'm Marty Maddox. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend farmers and ranchers a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Next spring, you'll fire up the tractor, turn the earth, plant the seed, and be on your way to another harvest. If you take care of your tractor right now. Before you put it up, do the maintenance so you'll be ready to go next spring. Everything you need to keep your tractor performing is at Camrock Supply. All the grease and hydraulic fluids and filters. All the nuts and bolts, all the tire patches. All the stuff is at Camrock Supply. All of it. Next to Fred's Steakhouse in Elk City. When it's time, make sure your tractor is ready to go.
XIT Auctions has a huge auction coming up Saturday, November the 8th, 5 miles north of Elk City, Oklahoma. The Lonigans are moving, selling 4 trailer loads of awesome furniture, household, shop tools, welding equipment, farm equipment, and much more. Saturday, November the 8th, the auction starts at 10 a.m. XITauctions.com for information or call me, Aubrey Latham, 393-4440. Saturday, November the 8th, north of Elk City, Oklahoma, XIT Auctions, ready to work for you.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, October 27th. 1,280 head were sold. 11 head of steers at 458 brought 420, 14 at 543 brought 360, 23 at 602 brought 367.50, 26 at 730 brought 335, 5 at 846 brought 325, 16 at 871 brought 325, 4 head of heifers at 521 brought 330, 24 at 544 brought 335, 41 at 614 brought 342, 6 at 684 brought 325, 10 at 726 brought 330, 9 at 903 brought 302.50. Butcher cows were 64 to 170, butcher bulls brought 169 to 200, bred cows 1400 to 3200. Pairs brought 2,300 to 2,850. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Brandon's either busy on the phone doing something he didn't answer. Maybe he'll call back in here shortly. Here is your Texas Panhandle Ag weather update. Lipscomb, 55 degrees, humidity's 56, dew point's 39, the winds are out of the north at 26 miles an hour with gusts currently at 31, peak wind gust today 48 miles an hour, 1.11 inches of rain so far in the month of October, No sub-freezing minutes yet. Nope, there he is. Hang on. Oh, somebody answered. All right, let's finish this. No sub-freezing minutes today. 8-inch soil temperature, 61 degrees. And there you have it. All right, let's do Central Crop Care grain market update. And we have, there it is. Yep, I think Brandon's on hold here. We'll check it out here in just a second. Let's see here. Corn, December 431, up 2.5. March 446, up 2. Thank you. Soybeans for November, 1078, up 11.5. January, 1095, up 10.75. Soybean meal, December, 306.30, up 8.10. If I can get this thing to move here, hang on here a second. Come on. Well, I can't see my hard red winter wheat. But let's go to live cattle. December, 226.42, down 75. February, 223.77, down 22. Not bad. Feeders, November, 332.30, down 6.15. January, 323.55, down 10.87. All right, let me get Brandon on the phone here real quick. Hang on. Bear with me a second here. Hey, matter of fact, I'm just going to go to break, and I'll get a hold of you and just come back with you in just a second.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Trade in and save on Milwaukee Tools this month at NAPA. Trade in and save $250 on a 1-inch D-handle extension anvil high-torque impact wrench with one key. Trade in and save $100 on Milwaukee 3/4-inch, 1/2-inch, and 3/8-inch impact wrenches. Trade in and save $50 on Milwaukee ratchet kits. Trade in any professional brand competing impact wrench or ratchet, pneumatic or cordless. Trade in and save on Milwaukee Tools this month at NAPA in Oak City, Weatherford, and Hinton.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need.
Kent Watkins here with SEI Agritech in Elk City, Oklahoma. Are feral hogs causing damage to your land and crops? Try Kaput, our highly effective bait designed specifically for feral hog control. Kaput targets hogs where it hurts, helping you protect your property and your livestock. Don't wait for the damage to get worse. Call us or stop by today at SEI Agritech on South Randall in Elk City to learn more about Kaput. Follow us on Facebook for the latest updates and solutions.
You don't want to let your cotton set in the field day after day waiting to be ginned. Now to better serve you, the cotton farmers in Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle, Lone Star Gin has processed over 540,000 bales of cotton. They've got locations in Pampa, Texas, and now in Burns Flat, Oklahoma. Lone Star Gin has the ability to process over 2,400 bales per day. All they do is gin cotton. Go to LoneStarGin.com for more information, and you can find them on Facebook.
You farmers like saving money on stuff you gotta have? You can save instantly when you buy two or more eligible Bridgestone or Firestone Ag tires at Blair Tire and Feed. Get $300 off all eligible AD2IF and VF radial tires and Bridgestone radials. Get $200 off all eligible non-82 radial tires and get $25 off Destination Farm and Destination Turf. Blair Tire and Feed at the crossroads in Blair, Oklahoma. Save instantly on the tires you gotta have.
Meet AgSense 365 from Valley. They've combined their best in-class remote irrigation management applications into one powerful platform. Easily manage everything from pivots to pumps and more, anytime, anywhere, all with AgSense 365. Contact Knutson Irrigation at 1-800-373-9325 today to learn more about AgSense 365, the most intuitive app for remote irrigation management. Online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You gotta go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
I've had several clients when we're sitting in a closing room, we're signing the final pieces of paper, and we slide the keys across the desk and tell them, congratulations, you're a homeowner, and they're just elated. They're thrilled. they finally realize that their dream came true. They were actually able to own a home, and the children are in there with them. And they're like, I get to go get my new room. It's for the whole family to enjoy. They're very excited to own a home. I'm Joe Shepard, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sarah.
Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hi, welcome back, everybody. Camargo, here's your northwestern Oklahoma ag weather update. 57 degrees, dew point's 43, humidity 60. The winds are out of the north, northwest at 29 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 42 right now. So hang on to your hats, guys. 10-day rain total, 1.52 inches, 6:47 is sunset, breezy and 57 today, clear, and the winds are going to calm down a little bit, 39 tonight, but winds are going to get back up tomorrow, 55 with northwest winds, 18 to 25 with wind gusts up to 30. Well, Mr. Brandon Hickey is on the phone with me right now. He's the big boss at the Elk City Livestock and Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, sir. Good to be here.
Hey, first things first. I talked to your dad yesterday. Because I was looking for a victim to interview. But what I was looking for was somebody that back up there, not necessarily just Roger Mills County, but back in the late 50s and the 60s, or with dairy, talking about the dairy challenges back then. And he laughed. He said, "Oh, Jimmy, we just had a couple milk cows around there." And he said, when all that started, he said, "I went off to college and beer and women's all I was thinking about." It was the best answer ever. I was shocked that come out of his mouth.
Yeah, that didn't work out too good for him, guys. You know, because beer and women was on his mind too much, so they drafted him and sent him to Vietnam.
I know. And see, he left that out, but I knew that it happened with him. So maybe he should have been an only child, stayed on the dairy farm.
He was an only child, but they got him anyway.
Oh, really? Well, that's unusual. Yeah. Well, maybe he should have stayed on the dairy.
Yeah, if you look up, there was a draft lady that was the head of the draft board there in Roger Mills County, and if you look at the statistics per capita, Roger Mills County has the highest percentage of young men sent to Vietnam of any county in the nation.
Is that right?
Yep.
I did not know. Right. I mean, I know a lot of guys from Roger Mills County that went to Vietnam, but I never gave that any thought, though.
Yeah. If you go by a per capita basis, they have the highest percentage in the nation of any county in the nation. Not all of them call them counties, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Some of them are something different than counties. I can't remember what some of them use something different. But anyway, they was the highest percentage of young men sent to Vietnam of any county in the entire United States.
Wonder what the story is behind that deal. I'll have to dig into that. There's got to be a reasoning, though. Interesting.
I don't remember what it that I used to know the lady's name, but that was the head of the draft board she felt like it was their duty to go, and by gosh, she'd find a way to send them.
So she was patriotic.
Yeah.
Well, there was because you go over to Sweetwater to their veteran memorial over there, and there are a lot of names on there out of Roger Mills County.
Oh yeah, and the one at Cheyenne as well. I mean,
That's interesting. I had to ask some of my Vietnam buddies what's up with that. Because there's still plenty of them around. But, you know, I had a good conversation with him. He's always so happy to talk to, you know. He just, "Hey, Jimmy, what's up?" And I was like, not much. Yep. But, well, on to different news.
Mm-hmm.
You had a couple sales. Had plenty of heads on there. But, man, it's the market's changed a little bit since the prior week, huh?
Yeah, it sure has. limit down there on Friday. And, you know, I'd have said, you know, the steer calves, the boy cattle, you know, probably 6 to 8 cheaper was maybe all on Friday. The heifers was probably about $20 cheaper. But then coming into yesterday and was worried about this, you know, a week ago when it limited down on Friday that it would limit down then again on Monday. And it didn't happen and actually recovered. But then this Monday it did. Our fear was realized and we went down limit Friday and then limit Monday. From 1 week to the next, you know, across the board, we were probably about $40, $100 cheaper on all calves and yearlings across the board, big, little, in between. It didn't matter, long weaned, short weaned, everything, you know, about $40, $100 cheaper than the previous week. And it may not be done yet. I mean, some are thinking that we're going to probably run it back down into the feeder board, probably run all the way back down into the 280, somewhere between 280 and 3 before it stops and starts back the other direction. And I hope it doesn't make it that far, but that's there's sure some of them thinking that could be the case. So
I bet today you've turned into Dr. Phil for the future sales, huh?
Yeah.
I could just imagine some of the phone calls you're getting. Hey, I was thinking about bringing those calves in Thursday. What do you think?
Yep. How bad is it going to be? How much is it going to change? We're still at great prices.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's still a wonderful price, but it's, with these guys, they're going to be cautious now. They're been some health problems going on anyway, like there a lot of times is this time of year, and then this put on top of it kind of compounds and exacerbates the problem, the mood of the buyers, and so it's we're in a little bit of a strained time, and this isn't untypical. I mean, this is kind of what tends to happen in October anyway. You know, we usually see a rundown in the calf prices, but that didn't happen last year. We just got higher and higher all the way through the month of October because of the tightness of the numbers. But this year we had a little something upset the paper traders and caused them a little panic, and they're running it down, and now the live board went down too. I mean, you know, last week when this happened, the live board didn't wasn't as affected, but it was this time affected with the Friday and Monday deal. Also, it kind of joined in with the chaos, and so it's a little uncertainty now for sure. I mean, I think I've talked about it on the show before. I mean, probably we're going to see a recovery, but we got to get the panic out of the way and get the people that want to get out are going to get out and find a place to hit the bottom, and I think we'll go crawling back. It'll take a lot longer to crawl back up than it did to go down, but I think we'll crawl back up there and get right back up into the in at or close to the levels where we were before, because I mean our number situation hasn't changed, and any ideas that they come up with to try to cheapen up beef or this, that, and the other. I mean, it's going to take a while for any of those get implemented. So I think we're fundamentals are set with supply and demand and numbers that barring some other weird thing happening. I mean, there's things that could delay it or maybe slow it down or make it not get all the way to the top. I mean, if they decided to fling the border open and let the Mexicans back across, well, that could make it not get all the way back up there to the 360 something that we were at. But all in all, right now, just sitting looking at things like they are. I mean, we should, we're going to have a rundown. I mean, there's no doubt about it. We're in the midst of it. We're seeing it. We're living it. Hopefully, I mean, I think, numbers wise, we should bounce and start back towards the upside once we've got the panic out of the way and I think we can you know, sure be packed past the levels where we're at now. You know, whether or not we get like all the way to the 360s, I don't know. You know, that's going to depend on some factors that we don't know about yet that are still out there that are undetermined. But you know, numbers wise, it's still really tight, and it's going to be that way for at least a couple of years easily.
So, question for you is, do you think it's just because the president opened his mouth about Argentina, or is it because he opened his mouth about meeting with the Mexican government this week, or is it paper traders taking some profit and waiting for it to come back up, or is it all three?
I think it's a combination of the first two. I don't know that there was a lot of profit taking going on. More so much as you know, when you have two down limit days in a row, you go to triggering stop losses, and that, you know, on them big hedge funds and whatnot that they, you know, with they put you know, stop losses in. So we're willing to risk this much, but once it gets to this point, you just sell us out. Well, that, you know, they can move it so fast because they're dealing in so many contracts that, you know, they can make the thing really move fast when they go to triggering those stop losses. But I think it was a combination, you know. I mean, first off, it's just, you know, it's paper traders moving it. I mean, you know, we've talked about it 1,000 times. They're emotionally driven, you know, and they overdo things both directions at all times. You know, they overdo it to the upside, they overdo it to the downside, and they've decided that they're panicking, and I think it's a combination of the Argentina comment. I think it's a combination of the Mexican deal and a little bit of worry about the screw worms and the Mexican cattle. And then the other thing that's going around is that they're, you know, possibly talking about lowering the Brazilian tariffs and maybe even letting some Brazilian beef back in. And so it's a lot of different things that, you know, what has happened is, we got enough noise, you know, out of the media, social media, and out of the mainstream media, to make people realize that beef is higher than what it had been and since COVID eras, and, you know, and everybody's like, whoa, wait a minute, you know, and I don't think anybody was really thinking about it until people, you know, the media, so on people on social media and the media went to talking about it, and so they went to talking about it, and everybody's like, whoa, wait a minute, pull back, you know, and we was at 413 box beef, and so we pulled back to 360 something box beef, and now you know, now the consumers have got it on their mind and they're thinking about it, and they're, you know, they're, well, what, you know, these prices need to be going down, they need to be cheaper, and, you know, and unfortunately, I mean, like it or not, I mean, the fact of the matter is there's a heck of a lot more voters that are beef eaters than there are voters that are beef raisers, and you know, we got midterms coming up here in a year, and you know, at the powers that be are they're going to cater to the votes to try to get the midterms, you know, swung in the direction they want, and you know, unfortunately for us, even though that our industry is so important to the nation's food supply and the nation's, you know, the health of the nation's food supply, but money talks, and the consumers have decided it's high. And you know, the politicians are gonna help those millions and millions of beef eater votes instead of just the thousands of beef raiser votes. So.
Yep, that makes a lot of sense. And then you said something earlier before you came on air. You know, the Mexican, unless we're just flooded with a bunch of them, the Mexican cattle deal, it's just a point of just messing with the market because we've been having Mexican cattle coming here for decades, and mm-hmm. and then you said something about what you thought was funny, or thought you said that about the Argentina cattle deal. It should have affected the cow market more than the calf market, but that's not what happened.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, that Argentina's that country eats more beef per person than any country in the world. You know, they've got a nice little deal going with supplying their own people with beef, and they've got a pretty sweet deal of sending beef to China. You know, do they want you at the United States market? Absolutely. Absolutely, they want to get into our tap our market because it's the greatest economy in the world. Absolutely, want to tap in here, but they're not going to send a bunch of high end, you know, restaurant worthy ribeyes and filet mignons and sirloins and all that kind of stuff that, you know, that's going to make all that, you know, everybody knows that Argentina beef is not going to be what the United States is, and you know, and so, you know, they're gonna send in some hamburger, and it's gonna help the fast food joints and the pizza joints and this, that, and the other, and you know, maybe lower maybe lower the prices at the grocery store, but with labeling laws like we've gotten, I don't know, you know, how much people are really paying attention to those labels of, you know, U.S. born, raised, and slaughtered, and you know, what does it make a difference to them when they see that it was Argentina or Australia or Brazil? I mean, you know, I just don't know when you get to a certain dollar figure, do people quit looking at that, and you know, and they're willing to buy the other nation's beef. I don't know that for sure what the answer to that is. I don't know, you know, not being in the shoes of an urban or rural urban area or city area consumer, I don't know how they feel about those things. But you know, I know they like our beef that we raise here, and they know it's safe. We know we have a safe product. They know we do a really good job, and we have a very, very high quality product. You know, and they think about that on all the high end cuts, but maybe not so much on the hamburgers. So maybe it does make a difference there. But again, you know, we're talking about hamburger and lower end, you know, cow meat kind of products, not our upper end products for you know, what we're looking at, you know, bringing in here from Argentina. So.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I went undercover the other day at a grocery store to check to see how many people would actually looks at the label.
Mm-hmm.
And I got caught. I was just kind of standing around, and I was browsing through the meats there, and I was looking at all the hamburger meat to see what kind of label, you know, and just being nosy and waiting on somebody to come up here and grab a steak, not even look at the label, leave. This lady pulls up there in her shopper cart. She said, "What are you doing looking at that? You raise your own beef, Jimmy." And I was like, dang.
You're going to have to get a better disguise.
I can't wait for Halloween. So I might be able to go in. But I really was. I would just on our level, on our local level. Not, this wasn't going to be no scientific experiment or whatever, but I was just curious. You know, first person walked up there, I got caught. So I went on about my business. But we better get back to the sale barns. You had a good sale at Elk City, numbers-wise, Friday. Mm-hmm. And you had a rowdy crowd. I was there. And I didn't have any major confrontation in the restaurant for a change. So that was fun.
Wow.
Yeah, it was.
Wow, that was different.
Yeah, and I actually got two pieces of dessert. So that was good. So,
yeah.
And then, but I did ask the crazy lady, I said, "Why weren't you in church last Sunday?" She said, "Because what you said about me on the radio, I was embarrassed." And I was, whatever. She couldn't, and I can't tell you what we talked about, what happened in church, if she would have been there on the radio. So that's pretty sad. You can't talk about church on the radio. It was good. But you had 2025 head there, or no, I'm sorry, 1845 head. And I mean, there's nothing really to talk about on the girls and the boys because they were down a little bit, but they were still good. They're still good prices. I mean, 4-weight heifers still bringing over $4 Friday.
It's still a good market. It's, you know, it's not what it was 2 weeks ago, but it's still a lot of dollars. If you got an operation, a cow calf operation, you know, we're still definitely at levels where you should be being profitable and making money and you know, we're not where we were 2 weeks ago. I remember the guy walked in there 2 weeks ago and picked up his check and he was so excited because his check was enough that he was going to be able to pay cash for a new pickup. He's needing a new feed pickup, and, you know, and his
check was good enough, he was going to be able to pay cash for it. You know, well, we might not be able to quite get you that new pickup now, but you know, but it's still good and still should be being profitable. You know, for sure profitable at these levels. It's just, you know, it's always frustrating. It you know, any time as a producer, all of us are in that boat. You know, that you feel like you missed something. You know, you give up. You know, I give up a couple of hundred dollars ahead, and that's always when that happens. But you know, it happens to all of us. It happens to the best of us. You know, happens to the least of us, the worst of us. I mean, it, you know, nobody is immune to that you don't get something timed right or get your cattle sold at just the right time or you know, it's very, very rare that you hit the top. You know, and it's also very rare that you hit the bottom. You know, nearly all of us are somewhere in the middle, and you know, that's just you know, part of the nature of the beast, the game that we play, the life that we've decided to live, you know, being cattle producers. And you know, this, you know, it's frustrating, but you know, thank God it's you know, we're at you know, we were at 360 a pound, and you know, now our feeder board's down at you know, 320 a pound, and it's not at, you know, not one of those deals where we were at 80 cents a pound and now we're at 40 cents a pound.
Well, just come back on what you just said there. Talking to a friend of mine this morning, that friend has he was waiting to sell, and I don't know if that means he had 100 calves he's wanting to sell at the sale barn, and so he's lost $30,000 between last week and this week. But you got to look at the flip side of that. It's still probably $30,000 better than it was last year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And absolutely. That's what
it goes. Yeah, we thought last year was great. We thought last year was great, and, you know, highest we'd ever seen, and we're so far above it this year, it's unbelievable a year later how much more these calves are bringing, you know, in August, September, and October than they were a year ago. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah. So, okay, have you got anything on the books for Friday people need to know about at Elk City?
Oh, got a lot of really nice calves lined up to come. I've got lots of old bred cows, middle-aged bred cows, and, you know, going to have a real good cow run, really good calf run. Got some sure enough replacement type quality heifers coming off of a couple of reputation ranches. If guys looking for some of them while we're in this down market, it's probably a good time to be, you know, there's going to be some opportunities in here, you know, to step in where you, you know, everybody's thinking these cattle are too high. Now there's an opportunity maybe to step in and get something bought at less money. So, you know, that replacement heifer deal may be somewhere to be looking. And sure enough, I've got a set or two of them going to be coming this Friday and going to have another good cow run. I don't have as many on the books as of Tuesday at noon as what I had last week. So maybe just, I don't know, fingers crossed, we'll see. Maybe we won't have to shut the cows off on Wednesday or Thursday of this week, but if you've got cow consignments, you better call them in and check, because you know what, we've 7 weeks in a row we've had to shut them off, and
yep,
and you know, this will be eight if we have to. Right now, looking like a possibility we might not have to, but
always check. Always
cow consignment, call in, get on the books. You know, so we. So, you know you've got your spot saved. So.
Yeah, because the cows haven't been hurt hurt anything like the calves have.
No. Still, the cow market's pretty steady. It might be down just a smidgen on the bred cows, but the butcher cow deal is pretty steady. They're starting to dock the thinner cows a little bit. You know, start to see the thinner, lower yielding cows are starting to fall down a little bit, but anything with a decent yield or decent feeding frame, you know, that's not too terribly thin, is pretty well steady with where they've been for the last several weeks. A little bit of a dock on a sure enough thin hard cow, bred cows, you know, maybe down just a little from what they were, pulling back the bids just a little bit on them, but still lots of interest in some short-term turnout cows.
Cool. Well, Brandon, I got to let you go. I'm running out of time, but I'm going to ask you a favor, if you don't mind.
All righty.
If you talk to the president, will you tell him not to talk about peanuts?
I will inform President Trump that I have personally visited with the Goober King, and the Goober King says to leave the peanuts alone.
So, all right. Well, you have a good one. We'll see you Friday.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Let's take a Stockman's Vet Clinic break. When we come back, remember, today's Tuesday. We got Hay Day. I got some hay for sale for you guys to write down. So get your pencil and paper ready, and we will be right back after this break.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
In the land of Ford, October is really Trucktober, a time to challenge ourselves and help truck buyers. The stock is in, and our place is covered with over 100 pickup trucks. We even had to ship some over to Truck Island. They're all waiting for loving families to give them a good home. To meet the challenge of selling 100 trucks by the end of October, we're going to take big trades and make big deals. The Trucktober Challenge is on at Barber Dyson Ford in Elk City, online at barberdysonford.net. Truck lovers, come and get them.
Hey folks, this is EJ Gretiman with ASCO Equipment out of Elk City, Oklahoma. If you need rental equipment, I got your back. From excavators to wheel loaders, telehandlers, and forklifts, we rent the brands that you know and trust. With flexible terms, responsible service, and expert support, we're here to keep your job on track. Need equipment? We're on it here at ASCO Equipment. Visit ASCOEQ.com or stop by our Elk City branch, 513 West 20th here in Elk City, Oklahoma, or you can just give me a call, 580-243-9233. Appreciate it, folks, and y'all have a blessed day.
One of the computers here at the station was crashing, about to lose everything on it, and we didn't even know it. But Dennis knew because he was watching, and he warned us in time.
Hey Gabe, it's Dennis. Our system detected that one of your computers has a hard drive that's about to fail.
Which one?
It's Nathan's.
So what do I need to do?
Well, we probably need to get it in the shop and get the drive cloned to a new machine before he loses any data off of it.
Do you have another computer in stock that we can just get it fixed real quick?
Sure, we've got some in stock. Just need to get it in, get it cloned over, and be good to go.
Okay, thanks a lot, Dennis.
You bet, sounds good.
See
you.
Bye.
ITL monitors our computers at Paragon Communications remotely, so Dennis Teal knows there's a problem before we even know it. He helped us save years worth of valuable files. ITL's remote monitoring comes in very handy here at work. That kind of security system for your computers can keep your business running so you can keep making a living.
We do brakes, alignments, oil changes, filter services. You know, if it's a fuel filter, air filter, we'll replace the front end parts on alignments, ball joints, tie rods. We don't do any engine work, but we do about everything else. Oil changes is something your car has to have done. There's many choices. We have a lot of repeats just because we take care of them. They come in, we get them out. They don't have to question, worry about if something was bad. Did you check it over? You know, if they call and make an appointment, we get them in and out a little quicker. They can show up. If it happens to be the right spot, we can get them right in and out. If not, you know, say it may be an hour or so, they'll leave it, come back, you know, on their lunch break or whatever. We have a lot of those every day. L&R Tire, 1204 South Main, Elk City, Oklahoma.
The home of Bridgestone Firestone Tires.
At L&R Tire, we'll take good care of your vehicle.
As a farmer or rancher, you're always looking for ways to save time and money. The Apache Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding in Visalia, Oklahoma will help you do just that. The Apache Hay Wagon eliminates 80 to 90% of hay waste with its unique design. It hauls multiple bales, saving you time and money. Go by Everett's Welding today and ask to see the Apache Hay Wagon. You'll be glad you did. You can also visit them online at everettswelding.com.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hi, welcome back, everybody. Here is your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update for southwestern Oklahoma. I picked the big town of Bessie, Oklahoma. 62 degrees, 46 is the dew point, humidity is 55. Winds are out of the northwest at 30 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 38. 1.50 inches of rain in the last 10 days. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 63 degrees. Sunset at 6:47. Breezy and 59 today. 41 for a low tonight. Tomorrow, breezy. 57, northwest winds 21 to 29 miles an hour, with some wind gusts up to 30, close to 40 miles an hour, according to the Mezzanet. All right, you guys got your pencil and pen ready. I got some hay for you to sell or to buy. If you 580-225-9697 is the Fowler Agency text line. If you're looking to buy some or you want to sell some, send it in. Let's see here. We got 150 number one quality, 150 round bales, a number one quality hay grazer, 1,200 pound round bales, tested for nitrate, $75 a bale, 11 to 1,200 pound round bales of horse quality teff grass. Only got 20 bales of those. Loading is available, plus delivery is available. You can work that out with them. This is in down here south of Elk City, between Elk City and Retrop. 580-821-2355. 200 bales of love grass, native love grass mix. That's easier to say that way. $45 a bale, up by in Woodward County by Sharon. 580-334-8989. And trucking is available if you want it. That's up in Woodward County. Then we got, what do we got here? By Hammond, 170 bales of Old World Blue Stem, fertilized and sprayed. And I forgot to write the number down. How smart was that? I'll figure that out and get back with you tomorrow on that one. Sorry about that. Got some wheat hay, $70 a bale, round bales. 580-660-5690. And we got 400 bales of Sudan hay, 5x6s, small stem, 3.5 wraps, down in Jackson County. 580-477-1255. True to Cow hay, south of Sayre. 580-243-8676. That's $75 to $85 a bale. And then some fertilized and weed-free wheat hay, $70 a bale. 580-729-2299. Got about 80 bales of that. And what else we got? 400 big square bales of alfalfa in the barn. Good cow hay, $180 a ton. 580-799-0074. And that's south of Elk also. And there we have it. It's going to get cold. You guys need some hay. You know you do. Been holding off. You're hoping it was cheaping up. Well, see how that falls out for you. Okay, let's see here. We got just enough time to do Pete's Pick of the Week. If I can find it, there it is. Here we go. If you kicked around the used farm equipment world long enough, every now and then you'll come across the holy grail of auction finds. Low hour premium condition, pre-def machines. Greg Machinery Pete Peterson likes to call them barn finds. This week's Pete's Pick of the Week is a pristine barn find that brought home a big return for its 89-year-old owner. Last Wednesday at an online equipment auction in Wisconsin, a 2002 John Deere 7810 two-wheel drive row crop tractor with only 915 hours on it sold for $158,000 and $158,392 was absolutely destroyed the record high for a 7810 two-wheel drive by $45,000. Also another notable transaction. Wonder what one of those 7810s cost brand new. Anybody know? A notable transition for last week was a 1990 Case IH7120 front wheel assist tractor with 4,000 engine hours on it, sold for $61,000 at Big Arn's Rodney Patterson Farm Retirement Online Auction in Stratford, Iowa. It represents the second highest all-time auction result for a 7120 with over 4,000 hours. And then that was it. Guys, that's the show. Enjoy the day. I'm going to go try to thrash some nuts. How about that? It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City in Sayre, Oklahoma.